Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone and join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 160. Let's dedicate this to all the underdogs at last weekend's PFL, PFL 5, because they were out barking in full-throated voice, at the end of the card, main portion of the card, which was a good and a bad thing for my co-host picks, which we'll get into before we give you some brand new picks to bet for this coming week. Who am I, you may ask, speaking in your ears. I am Jeff Fox, Jeff the Party Fox, you may know me as. I'm one of the hosts at this podcast. Thank you for coming along. It's a Monday episode. Mondays are PFL days for us. Well, when PFL is running, which is they're running again this week, they're finishing up a run in Atlanta, GA, Hot Atlanta. Third show is going down this Friday night, so we're going to give you some picks for that. Like I said, we're going to recap last weekend's event. We have to bring in the man known as, after his picks last weekend at PFL, I think we can call him Gumby God, because he hit two massive underdogs on this card. Like I said, the dogs were barking. Let's bring in the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland.
Not too massive, right? Right around plus 150, I think I was.
170.
Ah, yes. Which one was the 170 one at the time of? Because they both wound up, I think probably because I
Ray.
Skewed the lines. And
Braveheart was 170.
I think I probably skewed things because after people heard me, both of them were right around plus 145 at fight time. But yeah, Stevie Ray in Ryoji Kudo.
Yes, sir. Kudo. Dan hit it for the big win. So so it was a good night for PFL 5. Actually, the fights, kind of, if you like wrestling, wrestling and MMA, you may have liked the card. Did you watch the whole card?
No, I watched Kudo off the top. And then because we hadn't made picks for a lot of these fights, I like came in and out.
Yeah, we should mention that. They messed things up on us.
Yeah, they completely gutted the card like 30 minutes after we dropped our podcast.
Yep.
And I was happy to see some of the changes because some of the guys who showed up, I'm like more intrigued by. Like I like that Juan Adams was on there. He picked up a big win. He didn't win in the first round, which means he's not going to be in the playoffs. But it was like, you know, good to see him back out there and like winning, and he'll be a fun addition in the future. And then I like seeing Maurice Green in there, even though we had to fight Dennis Gottsoff. There were like cool additions, but ultimately like it left us with only five fights we had actually talked about in any capacity, including only three that we gave real breakdowns for.
Luckily, a couple of the big dogs that Dan did give you picks for came through. So there you go. And they actually fought. So if they hadn't fought, you wouldn't have got all that big money. So hopefully you were trailing Dan on those picks. I wasn't really paying attention to the SGPN Slack fight channel on Fight Night where people making money off us, Dan, or making money off you more correctly.
I popped in to brag about Kudo and saw a whole bunch of people had bet Flores, I'm pretty sure. So not
cool. So
not
don't
as
listen.
Much.
They don't pay.
And he won, you know, I don't mean to jump the gun on a recap, and I don't know how organized you had it, but like he won exactly the way I said he was going to win too. Like he has he's got a big right hand. And he had floored Brendan Loughnane or however the hell you say that name, but he had floored.
No, you said it right.
Loughnane.
I think so.
Sure. We're going to, that's what it is now. But like he had floored him in the past. And ultimately didn't win that fight, but like he had floored him in the past. And like, so who's to say he couldn't floor Alejandro Flores, who is clearly like not as good of a striker and has no grappling.
Bunch of fools. So hopefully at the very least that those degens in the Slack that didn't listen to you, hopefully they went over to win to make their bet. Cause you know, even if they lost, they could be entered in some of these cool contests I'm going to tell you about. Make sure you get down on the wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets, plus the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st of this year and get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Today, offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, let's move on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine, as do the SGPN fam. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only place, or only app, excuse me, where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. And Dan's going to give you something to make money on with Tuesday. Since you probably listen to this on Monday night, we'll give you picks for Tuesday or April.
Oh, yeah. That makes things a little bit harder because I haven't been doing daily fantasy research for Tuesday. I'll take Shohei Ohtani over on hits because he's Shohei Ohtani. He's generally pretty good at that whole hitting thing. Oh, no. Actually, yep. I have done a little research on that one. Take Jose Altuve against Carlos Carrasco. That was for an article I was doing. He's 11 for 30 off of Carrasco lifetime. So he's got tons of at-bats, hitting over .333. One of them's a dinger. He's also walked as many times as he struck out. Take Altuve against the Mets.
There you go. And here's what you do with that pick. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right. Let's rip through PFL 5. And then we'll move on to giving you some more winning picks, hopefully. All right. This went down this past Friday from Atlanta GA. Main event. Dan got wrong. We had a big upset. Matthias Scheffel beat this Bruno Capaloza, who is the defending champion at heavyweight, beat him by decision. And it wasn't a robbery or anything like that. He pretty much dominated this fight.
Yeah, and we can lump Clinton Abreu and Henan Ferreira into this same exact one. Like, yep. What a bummer of two of just, like, the best dudes in this season just, like, going in and throwing, like, one of the worst performances you've ever seen. It was kind of a, like, in both cases, I was like, oh, I now have to just be, like, less excited about all of these guys. Like, it was such a buzzkill. But, yeah, like, I mean, you're right. None of them were robberies. And do you want to know the most infuriating thing about this, though?
Tell me.
both guys who lost are in the playoffs, and the both guys who won are not.
Yep.
Like it's going to be Cavalosa versus Goltzoff and Faria versus Dalia because they won earlier in the season. It's so dumb, dude. Like I get that PFL is trying to give like a season view to MMA, but now that they've boiled it down to two fights as a season, it's shitty, dude. Like there's no way like that a guy just needs one knockout in the beginning of the season. He can get knocked out the second. Dude, Stevie Ray is it we're going to talk about him beating Anthony Pettis in a second, is fighting Anthony Pettis again now because they have to rematch now because they got paired up in the playoffs, and Pettis is the high seed.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it because it's something different. But yeah, they definitely can use some tweaking. The two fight thing is far too little, and maybe they should take away points if you get knocked out, stuff like that, or stopped. Maybe that's
I like that. Like there should be, you know, if you're gonna give two bonus points for a second round finish and three bonus points for a first round, how about take those three directly out of the other person's score?
Yep.
Like why not?
Yep. Do it PFL because I enjoy the product, and it's like I said, I like that it's something different.
They got to get those fucking stats off the screen though.
But Anthony Pettis threw a 15 mile per hour strike I saw on the weekend, Dan.
Dude, those don't mean whale shit, and it's like
there's a lot of stats on the screen. It's distracting. Yeah, there's a lot.
It's very visually stimulating, and it not in a good way.
Yeah. So they're the two big. Underdogs that came through that Dan did not have. Sadly, those fights did not fall through, and Dan didn't hit those, but he hit the co-main event. He had Stevie Ray, and he won. Modified body lock is what they call it. Anthony Pettis hurt his rib, apparently, or looked like he hurt his rib in when he got put in this move. I guess we'll call it a move, hold. But it's not like Pettis was looking spectacular anyhow in the fight, even though off the top, Kenny Florian said that we see Showtime Pettis this year, even though Dan said the exact opposite thing on our podcast that Pettis has checked out, he thinks, but Florian was hyping it up pretty.
He's so out of it. I'm kind of bummed that he's in the playoff because now we have to see him again. And like, he just clearly doesn't need to still be fighting. And he's got like all kinds of other endeavors too. You know, like he's an agent now. I don't know if you know that.
Right.
He's got his own stable of talent. He owns his own fight company. Like he runs his own promotion. So like, what is he still doing fighting other than PFL told him he could come win an easy million and he thought it would be an easy million.
And it is not.
We're now 2 years in and he's picked up one win in four fights. And not against household names either. You know, like he's losing to Roush Manfio, you know, and like, imagine telling somebody 8 years ago that Pettis was going to get worked by Roush Manfio. So, and Clay Collard. But that being said, Stevie Ray did look good. And I think you're right. I think this was an injury loss more than anything. At first, I thought it was like a weird modified twister looking thing.
Right.
And I saw some people yell twister on Twitter. And even that, my first reaction was, it did look like it was some kind of modified twister. But like on second look, it looked like Pettis just reaches for his rib cage. He just like broke his ribs, I think.
Yep, that's all. Just broke his ribs. But Stevie Ray, one half of Harlem Heat, came through with that win. What else? Abrio Ferreira, we talked about. Chris Wade, Kyle Bochniak was not one of the fights we broke down, but Chris Wade won via head kick and punches. So.
I called that one too.
Did you call that one?
Yeah.
Well, I got to change things then. What odds do you have on that?
You know, in our pre-production meeting.
I sent you an email and you didn't reply.
They were bad odds. I do remember because
I'll look it up. You want to talk about the fight while I look it up?
I played my typical two-sided thing being like, Kyle Bochniak's pretty tough, and like, so there might be value on, I think it was Bochniak was like plus 410 or something like that, so you know, Wade had to have been like, you know, negative 300 at least. I mean, a head kick knockout a minute and 10 seconds in. What is there more to say other than that?
Yep, no kidding. Let me find talk about another fight. I'm going to find how much you got for that, Dan.
We can just buzz through these. Like, Dalia Graves, super boring. Bubba Jenkins, Exon, super boring. Gottsov versus Green, super boring. All of them unanimous decisions. Lance Palmer did exactly what I thought he would to Shaman Marias. This is another one we had an official bet in on. However, he was a favorite in that one. And he was a favorite for a good reason. Shaman Marias, decent striker. Not going to deal with the grappling of Lance Palmer. So we hit that one. Juan Adams came in on short notice and fought Sam Kai or Key. This one, by the way, I wanted to mention this while you're looking shit up. This one was really weird to me because Sam Key was scheduled to fight Denis Galtsov. And they both are still on the fight card. And they both still fought. But for some reason, they fought Juan Adams and Maurice Green instead. I think it's because...
Why?
I think it's because Ali Isiev and Jamel Jones both dropped out of their fights. And both of them dropped out. And I think their thought process was, well, we're supposed to have this many heavyweight fights. So they got two replacement fighters, but then it felt wrong to put the two replacement fighters against one another. So they broke up a matchup that was already planned and people had already had training camps for and made them fight UFC castoffs in Maurice Green and Juan Adams. Super weird, but good for Juan Adams getting a win. I like him back in the win column. And then the only other two were Brendan Loughnane, who we mentioned, wound up getting a replacement fight. He didn't fight Boston Salmon. He fought Ago Husic, which was an easy one-sided decision, which seems like most of these were. And then the aforementioned Ryoji Kudo getting me plus 150 against Alejandro Flores. They need to respect his name, dude. That guy might win the 145 season. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he came out of this with $1 million.
We shall see. Dan came out of the night with $203.33. Very nice score. Thanks to a plus 170 dog in Stevie Ray and a plus 150 dog in Booker T. No, it wasn't Booker T. Kudo. So you made it 203.33, 4-2 on the night. For the season, you're 16-9, 64%. You're up 17.72. There's a dot between the two sevens. So $17.72. So
nice.
Hey, perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. You're up money. So that is the key. So, yeah, we're going to get up, had hopefully some more money after picks for this coming week's PFL. But first, I'm going to tell you about IP Vanish. Dan's going to make sure he doesn't make your money vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without ad security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes it virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan. For our listeners, with a 30-day money-back guarantee, it's just like 89 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. We've got a PFL coming up, and it's got their big money fighter, the big ticket fighter on it, Kayla Harrison. Unfortunately, her fight has fallen through. She's supposed to fight Julia Budd, which probably would be a bit more of a fair fight than the fight that's coming up. But nonetheless, she is fighting. We're not going to give you breakdowns of her fight because her the odds, they're still not out, right?
Let's just talk about the fact that she's fighting Caitlin Young, who, by the way, not here to disrespect Caitlin Young. Caitlin Young is a legit legend of MMA. If you go back, I'm just going to read you a list of people who Caitlin Young has fought. She's fought Miesha Tate, Gina Carano, Julie Kedzie twice. She fought Leslie Smith, Liz Carmouche, Lauren Murphy. She fought Pam Sorensen. You probably don't know the name Cindy Dandois, but she fought Cindy Dandois too, who's like a legend. Like, the Belgian fighter. Kayla Harrison fought
Cindy Dandois.
You want to hear a fun story about Sydney Dandois? She just retired this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, rather. She fought in a like regional Belgian show because that's where she's from. She's from Belgium. And she fought in the main event, beat the hell out of some like, you know, like 2-0 girl or 0-2 girl or something like that in the main event. For her, you know, Dandois has got like 40 fights or something like that. But the earlier in the fight, or earlier on the fight card, in an amateur fight, Dandois' daughter fought and won, which is crazy that she's fighting on the same fight card as her daughter. But yeah, like kind of a fun retirement fight, getting to fight with her daughter.
It's like Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., Dan. You're probably
except
too young
for,
to remember that.
No, I'm not too young to remember Ken Griffey Jr., but senior.
No, when they
played
together, I mean.
Yeah, I might have been too young for that. That's true. But it's not like I haven't seen the video of Junior stealing the fly ball from Senior. So, but and also this is with like mid-level women's Belgian MMA. So not exactly the same.
It's a little different. Just like LeBron and LeBron Jr. in a few years.
Bronny, I think we're talking about.
Bronny, yes.
Do you, right, I'll do my rip through. So my typical rip through. Kayla Harrison's going to kill Caitlin Young. Caitlin Young's 12-12-1 in her career. I think of all of those names I mentioned to you, she beat two of them. She beat Sydney Dandois towards the end of her career, and she beat Misha Tate. I think when Misha Tate was like 1-0 or something like that. So like
1 year old.
Yeah, like she's fought a lot of high level competition, but she's like, you know.
You said yeah to that, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
You did not fight Misha Tate when she was one, Dan.
I'm not letting you derail my quick run through. So
don't agree with everything I say if you're crying out loud.
Rory McDonald's gonna kill Sidibou Sy. No offense to Sy.
Murders.
Yeah, he's not looked particularly good in there. Rory Mack, despite not being like old school Rory Mack, should be fine. I'd like Ray Cooper III to bounce back and beat, who's he fighting again? Brett Cooper. Brett Cooper's a guy who just takes a lot of damage. He did in Bellator. You can't take damage like that against, Ray Cooper. You have to try to wrestle him and make him work. And I don't think he will. And then we got this weird fight. I will say this. I think the odds on this are going to be astronomical between Magomed Karamov, and Yao Severino. But I will say Zeferino's a tough dude. He's probably going to be like plus 1,000. If that's the case, I don't hate like a sprinkle on him. But the pick, if you want a winner here, is Magomed Karamov. So those are all super big blowouts. What were the other blowouts I had circled? Oh, Mokrutina versus Montes. For some reason, Marina Mokrutina, who's like a pretty good Sambo Russian, is fighting this Mexican woman who's fought 4 times in her career. She should just absolutely murder her in there. And then the other women's blowout I had was Martina Jindarova. Maybe this one's not a blowout because I do know less about this Kazakh woman's who's, I'm going to butcher her name in just a moment, Zamzagul Zelenova. I know less about her, but I will say that Jindarova looked really good in her last fight. And I know that Zay Zelenova she's a judo specialist. I don't think that's gonna play well. And she just got the crap kicked out of her by Larissa Pacheco. So those are the quick scan through ones. Hang on, let me make sure I didn't miss one because 1 week PFL skimped and we wound up hosing our listeners out of one. No, I just gave you 6 fights, so then we'll give the actual rundown of 4 like we have every week.
So how many of these fights are going to happen this week, Dan?
I think all of them. There are no replacements for women's lightweight fighting.
Very
outside,
true.
Outside of Caitlin Young, so hopefully none of those fall through.
Yes. All right. We'll break down. Yeah, you'll hear when I do breakdowns for some of those women. It's lightweight fights. It's the first time the woman has fought at 155 pounds. So we have someone who's coming up from strawweight, originally a strawweight fighter who's now fighting 40 pounds heavier. So all right. First fight we're gonna break down is Jarrah Al-Salawi. Actually, he's got a longer name than that, doesn't he? Is Jarrah Hussein Al-Salawi? Salawi, yes. Zayed. Jarrah Hussein Al-Salawi Zayed, I think is his full name. You can call him the Jordanian Lion if you I remember we broke down his fights before, because I think I was a Jordanian Lion on a few episodes. So he's fighting in a this would be lightweight. Is it a lightweight, Dan?
Welterweight.
Okay, welterweight, right. Yes, he just did lightweights. Okay, welterweight fight against Magomed, another Magomed. Magomed Umalatov. Umalatov. It's not, it should be Magomed Umalatov, should it not?
Sure, why not? I'm just going to agree with you today.
It's all. It's always Magomed. Man, you have no patience for my nonsense tonight. Fine. Let's just break down the fight, man. You want to get right down to business? All right, let's tell you about Umalatov first. He's a prince, apparently. He's 11-0, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 2-0 in PFL. He's a regional champ, 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach on El Silwali. I was going to give you the number on him, but we do not have the betting line yet. Hopefully by the time this gets in your ears, there will be betting lines out there. You can go over to WinBet and bet some of this money. All right, the Jordanian Lion, Al Silwali. 18-3, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 2-0 in PFL, won 5 straight fights. He also is a regional champion. Tell us what you know about these men and who's going to win.
So Umalatov, I like quite a bit, mostly because he's got good power, and we've now seen him beat good competition in beating Leandro Silva. I don't know if you remember Leandro Silva from his UFC days. Yes. He beat like Efrain Escudero, and I think he submitted Charlie Brenneman, which... that name might not mean a lot to you guys now, but Charlie Brenneman was kind of fun, wasn't he? Anyway. Yes, he
was. So, the Spaniard.
Spaniard. Just the Spaniard. It was just Charlie, okay. The Spaniard, Brenneman. Yeah. But yeah, like, I like El Sawai, but like, the problem with him is that he just had that fight with Gleison Tibau, and I know he wins the decision there, but I know a lot of people who scored that for Tibau, mostly just because, like, he controlled them. Umalatov does prefer to box and has gotten a lot of work done boxing, but like, if it wasn't working for him to throw hands with this guy, he'd just wrestle him and take him down. So yeah, I think Umalatov just has too many ways to win, and it's not going to go well for Elsawai here.
Let's see how you are guessing lines. You can do that game too. What's the line going to be? What number are you going to get for Umalatov?
So are you going to write these down and tell me how well I did? I think Umalatov is going to come. So I think El Sawai will have a little bit of credit coming in from the Tibau win. But Umalatov's got a name like Umalatov. And like, you know, that's tough already. So I think I'll say Umalatov -220.
-220. Lock him in. This is the Price is Right. Except you can guess. You can go over with your guesses. Not like the
nice,
Price is Right.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to a women's fight next, a women's lightweight fight. Larissa Pacheco versus Jenna Fabian. Lightweight's the only women's class they have, right, at this point?
Correct, it's made up.
Yeah, okay. I just clued in, like, duh, news, all of a sudden a thunderbolt into my brain. Wait a minute. Yeah, anyhow, let's tell you about Fabian first. 5-2 with 3 knockouts, but knocked out once, 4-2 in PFL. Won her last fight. She has missed weight badly. I think that was the last fight she missed weight, maybe 160 pounds she came in at. Was that last fight? Do you know off the top of your head?
That was. It was the Julia Budd fight. Yeah, because so, now she's in like a weird spot where she like needs a big knockout in order to make the playoffs.
Yeah. What happens? Did she get docked points?
You just get no points. Like she gets no points fight. At all. She can fight and get paid, but she's not fighting at lightweight, so she doesn't get any lightweight points.
Right. Yeah, so she is one of the legit lightweights in the lightweights as in size in the weight class. Because she missed weight, she made it to the PFL semifinals last year when she got beat by the champ. That girl Kayla Harrison, that's main eventing. She's all 7-2 as a kickboxer. She's got half a foot of height on Pacheco. I'm having trouble with the names, Dan. And 5 inches of reach on her. So she, like I said, she's size-wise, she is a legit 155-pounder. Pacheco, 16-4, 7 knockouts, 8 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in PFL. She won 3 straight fights, all via some form of knockout / TKO. She made it to the 2019 PFL finals, where she lost to that woman once again. I just spoke of Kayla Harrison. She's fight at 145 and 135 pounds. Multiple regional championships on her.
Mantle.
Went 0-2 in the UFC, 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, made her pro MMA debut in 2012, and she's 4 years younger than Fabian.
I'm going to take Fabian here, and I think she's going to be a decent-sized underdog.
Really? I thought Pacheco was the second-best lightweight still. No?
So I thought that for a while, although she is coming off that loss to Jindrova, who I mentioned is getting a squash match, Martina Jindrova. Go back to her time in the UFC. She was 1-3. She only beat Sarah Morris and lost to Carol Rosa, Tracy Cortez, and Irene Aldana. And, like, that's already kind of alarming, because what does Aldana want to do to you? Just, like, box you? And here we got Jenna Fabian, who, first of all, is way bigger than Irene Aldana. And second of all, comes from a kickboxing background. She's a kickboxer who they let in here just because she's a kickboxer. And in addition to that, like, if you go back further I've got my people mixed up. That was not Pacheco's line. That was Vanessa Mello's line. We're going to talk about Vanessa Mello later. Pacheco is the one who beat...
Amateur. Ugh.
Yeah, who beat Carol Rosa but lost to Jermaine Durandamy. Jermaine Durandamy, what is she trying to do to you? The exact same thing as Jenna Fabian. Sorry, I got my my analogs mixed up. I didn't mean Irene Aldana. I meant Jermaine Durandamy. So she went 0-2 in the UFC, got fired, has lost a bunch of times to Kayla Harrison, which don't mean anything, but largely is just like, what is she going to do? She's going to go out there and box somebody way bigger than her in Jenna Fabian, and she's lost to boxers who are way bigger than her in the past. So I think she's going to be a large favorite here because Fabian is like, you know, she missed weight badly. She's, you know, quote unquote, just a kickboxer. She looked terrible against Kayla Harrison, but nobody looked good against Kayla Harrison. And in the end of it all, like, I think Pacheco is going to try to grapple her a little bit, but is going to look less good doing so. And hey, like, Fabian just needs to light her up on the hands. Fabian's got the ability to knock people out. She has in boxing. She has an MMA. So yeah, I'm going to go with Fabian here.
Okay. What number are you going to get?
Plus, this is going to be a big one, I think. Plus 250.
Oh, boy. Plus 250. All right. Hopefully, Dan's doing pretty good with the PFL underdogs so far this year. All
right. Let's jump right to Vanessa Mello versus Olena Kolesnik. Mostly just because I already half broke down Vanessa Mello stupidly.
All right, let's do it. Vanessa Mello. She's Miss Sympatia, excuse me. 11-9, two submissions. One, she's been knocked out once. 0-1 in PFL. She used to fight at strawweight, featherweight, and bantamweight. She's 1-3 in the UFC. She missed weight twice in the past. I can't remember what weight classes they were, but it wasn't lightweight, that's for sure. This will be her. She has fought for the first time in lightweight since she joined PFL. Regional champion. She's a regional champion. 2011 was her pro MMA debut. I want to say coleslaw, but it's Kolesnik. Not coleslaw. Cannon Kolesnik. 6-4 with one no contest. 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, I believe. I didn't put any number behind beside submitted, but I believe it's once. I have her record. Boy, I was really good when I was doing this. I have a record in PFL as 1-12, Dan. Did you know she was that bad in PFL?
No, 1-2.
1-2, I know. She's only lost 4 times. So at 1-2 in PFL, she won her last fight. 0-2 in Invicta, used to fight down at featherweight, 2 years younger than Mello, 4 inches height over her and 3 inches of reach. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Ukrainian here. I'm going to take Kolesnik. I mentioned how I don't like Vanessa Mello, during that last breakdown where I mistakenly was looking at her record instead of somebody else's. The recent loss to Jindrova doesn't look good. Only having beaten Sarah Morris, fighting somebody like Irene Aldana, who just wants to box you. Kolesnik comes from a boxing background. She trains at Tiger Muay Thai, which means she'll be ready for the takedown. She's only really lost to, like, some pretty high-level fighters, with the exception of Taylor Guidardo, who I don't know what to say about that loss very much. But, like, she's looked good since beating her, maybe? I don't know. But, yeah, I would say I think this one is going to probably wind up right around pick 'em odds. But I'll take Kolesnik here. I think she's just going to be, like, a little sharper on the feet, and Mello is going to be outsized.
There you go. Okay, one more fight to break down for you, then we will send you on your way to bet these picks over on WinBet. Gleison Tibau versus Nikolai Aleksakhin at welterweight. Alexakian. I changed the pronunciation of his name that time. I think I might be closer to the correct way that time. Alexakian.
You just keep doing you. Sure.
Okay. 24. See, he has no patience for my nonsense tonight. 24-7 with, it's like one of his kids. 24-7 with one no contest. 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. 1-2 with one no contest in PFL. Lost his last 2 fights. He was 1-1 in the biggest organization, the best organization in the world. One championship, including a title fight against Ben Askren, which he lost. He's 8 years younger than Tibau, 4 inches of reach on him. Tibau, 37-16, 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 2-2 in PFL, lost his last fight. Used to fight at lightweight. Somehow, when you look at him, you wouldn't believe it, but he did. 16-12 in the UFC, failed a drug test on his way out the door there. Missed weight in the past at lightweight. MMA, pro MMA debut, 19-99. He's an inch taller than his opponent this week. Break her down.
I'm not going to, because it's a Gleason-Tibau fight.
Gleason-Tibau either.
I mean, Gleason-Tibau consistently puts on the most Gleason-Tibau fights of all time. It's really funny because, like, if you look at his recent PFL record, it's just wrong. It's wrong in every way. Like, you have his split decision win over Rory McDonald. He didn't beat Rory McDonald. There's no way he beat Rory McDonald. He lost that fight pretty handedly. And then it's got a split decision loss to El Sawai, who we talked about before, Jarrell El Sawai. He didn't lose that fight. He won that fight. So it's just like a wacky bunch of things. But I'll say this. Like, I still have enough faith that Gleason-Tibau is pretty good. Alexakian, just like, I don't know. Occasionally, he just looks like he has trouble getting anything going. We saw that against Sidibou Sy in a fight he lost. And I mean, he looked completely out of his element against Ray Cooper. I don't know if he was winning the first fight with Sidibou Sy, but he didn't look great. And Sy is a guy who I don't have a lot of faith in. I mean, like, I think his pro MMA record is barely 500. The Swedish Denzel Washington, you might remember.
Oh, yeah, that's who that is.
Yeah, he's fighting on he's fighting Rory McDonald. He's one of the squash matches. But yeah, like, I just don't think Alexakian, like, follows his game plan well enough and, like, gets derailed really easily. So I'm just going to take the veteran win with Gleason-Tibau. And I'll also say this. I don't know how to line a Gleason-Tibau fight anymore, because it's Gleason-Tibau. Unless you're putting him up against somebody who's really good or really terrible, I got no way of lining it. But, like, he could be really great tomorrow on when is this fight card happening? Friday, technically.
Friday,
he could be
really
great. He's probably not going to be really great. But who knows? He could be really great. He could be really terrible. But I'm still going to take him here.
That reminds me, I didn't tell y'all when it's happening. I may have briefly. It is happening on Canada Day, Friday, July the 1st. As everyone knows, that's Canada Day. It's our 4th of July, except it's our 1st of July. 5 p.m. Eastern is the start time. ESPN is the main card. ESPN Plus are the prelims, and it's going down from Atlanta, GA again. And they're off for a few weeks now, right?
Yeah, they're off until the playoffs, which is in the first week of August, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Dan? Plans for our Monday show?
I mean, Contender Series starts in a couple of weeks.
Month to the day, I think. Isn't it the 26th, I think?
Yeah, we'll probably just start ignoring PFL, even their playoffs, when Contender Series rolls around, because the level of MMA is about 30 times higher.
It's true. And that's where all the money is made, too.
And I've already been doing my research, so.
Oh, very good, very good. Is Bellator running at least in those weeks? I think
Bellator's
only running like once. It's true. Some people are in our Slack here.
I gave winners for Bellator. We didn't recap that either.
Right. Go ahead.
It was all in the Slack. I can't even remember what dog I told people to play. But it was Kili Smoda. Looks phenomenal and maybe one of the best unheralded fights I've seen, because it was being watched by 400 people on YouTube. But man, did he look good with his grappling. So hopefully you guys listen to me and bet Kili Smoda.
And Gegard Mousasi did not look so good. Did you watch that fight?
He did look bad. He looked objectively bad.
He looked like Mousasi. That happens sometimes with him.
Do you know Johnny Eblen, the guy who beat him, the Bellator champion? Do you know who he trains with?
Your mom.
No, he trains.
No.
That would be a
sight. Seriously,
it would be a hell of a sight. He fights with Kili Smoda, the guy who I just mentioned, and Alex Pereira and Glover Teixeira.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
looky there, nice, dropping some knowledge on our head.
Nice little gym getting put together in Danbury, Connecticut.
It's true. Yeah, it looks like Belcher's only running once a month. Hey, break your heart. And the next event is July 22nd is their next event. But well, Dan's good at picking regional fights too. So don't worry. When PFL's gone, we will not be gone. We will still figure out things to stick in your ear holes every Monday. So anything else you want to stick in the ears this week? Let me think. Read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan and I write about not just MMA, we write about baseball as well. There's actually a PFL picks column coming out, not Dan or myself. So it'll be interesting to see if he's on the same page as us. Dylan Rockford will be making the picks.
Is he going to get lines? Is he going to find lines?
Hopefully he finds lines.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But he's going to make picks. It'll be interesting to see if they're the same as Gumby's picks or not. So that should be dropping on the site early, well, before Friday for sure. So you can read his picks. Maybe he'll have a different take on things that'll make you go, So we have that. We have all our baseball stuff. Obviously, there's always football. There's all this minor league football that we cover. It's just nonstop football because you people love your football. So we cover everything over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So read our stuff, listen to our stuff, listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast, read my stuff at moneymma.substack.com. Follow us on Twitter. SGPNMMA is our Twitter handle. We're over 200 subscribers again, I see. So onwards and upwards. And then my personal one, Jeff Fox Writer, and he is Gumby Vreeland. And I think that's it. Is that it?
You got it.
All right. Until next time, which will be Sunday, I guess, right? No.
Wednesday.
I'm a week ahead of ourselves.
We'll do our regular breakdown Wednesday.
We will do two shows. Wednesday and Thursday will be our UFC breakdowns for you. So until then, I will remain the Jordanian lion, Jeff Fox, and he will remain Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. Bye-bye.